Nation with Who1.co.uk presents the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who Podcast.
Hello and welcome to the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who Podcast number 146. And with me this week, I'm Adam, by the way. I thought you already know that, but just in case you're a new listener. In the unlikely event of you being a new listener, here's Mary Lang.
I'll take a hug. No, seriously. Okay. I'll take a hug.
You're welcome to one. Kirby Bartlett Sloane. I was going to say Lord Kirby of Bartlett Sloane, but it's nevertheless Kirby Bartlett Sloane.
The prophecy must complete.
Must it? And Reese, I've got a very strange picture on Skype, pardon.
Yes, we know who you are.
I should hope you do. I just introduced myself.
Yeah.
And we've got to try and race through this week because Mary has now got 52 minutes before she has to leave. So, it's The Stolen Earth, which begins with the Doctor and...
The Earth being stolen.
Well, we haven't quite got to that bit yet, but Doctor and... this is immediately after the turn left. The Doctor's sort of investigating what's going on with the Bad Wolf thing, and he goes to Earth and sees nothing particularly untoward going on initially, and he has a little bit of a conversation with a milkman, goes back into the TARDIS.
Andrew Bullivant, he was also later PC Ferguson in The Temptation of Sarah Jane Smith, Part 2.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you for that bit of nugget.
But anyway, so they go back into the TARDIS, and there's a bit of a rumble.
And, oh, sorry. Then
they open the door up again, and they're in space where Earth should be. There's a few little boulders.
Boulders in space.
Yeah, but it implies that Earth's been destroyed. So I don't know where these boulders and whatever you call it have come from. But never mind, I'm not going to moan. There's been a bit of a rumble, like I say. They've travelled quite a long way across the universe, but everybody seems to be fine, a little bit unconscious and on the ground or whatever. but they seem to be fine. Nobody's got killed.
And my favourite thing is always the fishbowl.
The what?
The what?
The fishbowl in at... Donna's house. There's a fishbowl that you keep noticing in all the scenes, and you wonder how this fish hasn't splashed out.
It's like that's because it's the fish that also appeared in the Dr. Seuss's Cat in the Hat movie.
Right.
Anyways, then we get to see some familiar faces, which makes me particularly excited at the time of, and I'm watching it again recently. Captain Jack and the yes. Torchwood crew, obviously mm-hmm. just after Tosh and Owen have been killed, because it's yes. just the three of them, and it's obviously before. Anyway, I won't spoil anything. And then we're in the attic with.
Well, we know? Does this happen after Children of Earth?
No, before.
Before.
Because they keep being referred to as, you know, your children.
Oh, yeah, good point.
So I just wondered if that's a reference back to Children of Time.
Yes, Children
it's
of
before
Time.
Before, because Ianto's alive.
Yeah, but it's Children of Time.
Oh, that's true.
The reference is Children of Time in this, and it's Children of Earth is the name of the thing. Just to confuse listeners and viewers. then we're in the attic with Sarah Jane, and we hear... Alexandra Armstrong, who does the voice for Mr. Smith, of course, then appears later as a character himself.
You always have to give that fanfare.
Yeah, I'm quite glad they did that line because it is a bit silly, isn't it? Yeah, I like that. Then, of course, we see Donna's family. Then we see Martha and then the milkman. And then Rose turns up looking all tough and says, right now we're in trouble because she knows the 20 megabyte podcast just about to start. And of course, sorry, it's not Rose. I made a mistake. It's Bingo from the Banana Splits. There she is, wearing a pair of very, very big earrings. And she looks up into the sky to see some planets, which, of course, perspective-wise, wouldn't quite look like that, but it was all right for the effect.
Well, you never know.
Well, they were all very, very close, weren't they? I think the way they were spaced out on the sort of digital diagram the Doctor looked at later on, I think they're actually going to be a bit further apart than they appeared in.
Yeah.
But never mind, it's science fiction fantasy, so it shouldn't really matter to people.
It's Doctor Who.
That too. And it wouldn't have made much of the story if they went too deeply into the physics of the whole thing.
Well, exactly. Like in Turn Left, the stars all started going out at the same time when the darkness was arriving, but because they're at different distances apart, you wouldn't see them all going dark at the same time. That doesn't matter for dramatic intent.
Indeed, exactly. It doesn't matter. Well, it doesn't really matter. No. Depends how much you dislike RTD. Of course, if you're Ben Shoveler and it's to do with Stephen Moffat, it would matter quite a lot.
Yeah, and it's not a matter of perspective. You know, from Earth's view, they may have looked like that.
I'm also wondering the fact we haven't heard from Ben Shoveler yet in regards to the Christmas special, that it was so good he didn't want to make comment on it. But we'll find out at some point in the future, I hope. Or he just hasn't watched it yet. She's probably.
Or how much effort does it take to say, it's all right?
Anyway, so we get the old mandatory news and TV clips with, of course, Paul O'Grady and his now deceased dog, Buster.
Oh, okay.
Died a few years ago, I used to point it. But it's nice that Buster managed to get onto Doctor Who at some point. And especially as the Paul O'Grady show was then, I think, a Channel 4 programme. And it moved to ITV. So it's interesting that the BBC was using programmes from other channels for this particular bit. Because normally they just stick to BBC shows. Michael Brandon is the big boss of UNIT. Although, has he got a US thing on his lapel, which implies he's probably the big general of the United States Army? Am I being pedantic?
Well, they're supposed to be in New York, and there are American flags all over the Cardiff traffic control station.
Okay. Then we have the...
I wonder why that is.
We have the looters. Right, there's a very interesting bit for me around when... this is in Penarth, where I used to live, very near to my mate's house. We have the looters, and there's a name of the shop that was particularly interesting to me, because you didn't see it in shop, but obviously it's the 20 megabyte shop. When she goes in and gets all tough with the looters in the shop, like she steps outside and you see the sign above her head eventually. So I'm just trying to find.
Well, the shop's name is Megabyte City.
Yes, no, and you didn't see the name 20. That fell off because all the looters.
The
looters actually knocked it. It's actually 20 megabytes.
The Daleks were shooting at one part of the building, and
they hit the 20.
The sign fell off. Yeah.
And the word Megabyte had been mentioned earlier in Doctor Who, the Megabyte Megatron, which is some sort of weapon in a classic Doctor Who story. Anyway, moving back to this one. I really did enjoy. This is the only time I'm probably ever going to get it. Was all the spin-off series and all the ex-companions all together in one story. That's
in just a few words, it's RTD porn.
Absolutely. I think the wettest and the weakest of all the performers was, of course, Luke, which is Sarah Jane's son. He does get better as an actor later on. But this is just after they shot the first series of Sarah Jane. I think, or was it the second one? I can't remember. And he does get better. I think they're pretty sure this is after the first series. And actually thinking about it made me remember, while doing all this run of New Who episodes, that we really do need to watch the Sarah Jane Adventures story, or the Wedding of Sarah Jane Smith, which obviously features the 11th. Sorry.
10th well, Luke Doctor. References Marion. Now, which series was she in?
Maria.
Maria,
yes.
Yeah.
She was he in references series
her
now. One.
Was she just in the first series?
Yes, just the first one, yes.
Okay,
I think
and
an episode.
Probably.
Episode one
the
of the second
series,
wasn't it, as well? I believe. First story of the second series as well. Which will feature this on Taran. So we need to watch that one. We also need to watch the Death of the Doctor, Sarah Jane Adventures episode, because it's technically a Doctor Who thing. Don't need to watch any Torchwood, fortunately.
Do all of Sarah Jane.
At some point, but not in relation to this run of Doctor Who.
Yeah, but don't subject us to K-9.
Do you like K-9?
No.
What?
No, the series K-9.
Oh, yeah. No. Right, there's a bit
there's
I like.
A series of K-9? I've blotted that from my mind.
There's another bit I like, is when the spaceships are appearing above the looted areas, and Rose walks away and things are exploding in the background, she just doesn't flinch. I know that's very James Bond, but I do quite like that particular shot. Of course,
well,
we now...
Well, Tennant did that in Voyage of the Dan, too.
Yeah, I know. I like it, though.
Yeah.
I do like the way they do that. And also there was a quasi? What are you on about? The bit, and if you haven't seen it, of course, The Greatest Show in the Galaxy, when Sylvester McCoy is walking away from the tent when there's a great big explosion behind him, and he doesn't flinch
clip,
either.
But I haven't seen Greatest Show. I've seen part of the first episode.
Yeah, so you've seen that clip, so you know what I'm talking about. That's very similar to that, yeah. But more effective. Of course, Graham Harper is the director of this episode.
And that's so perfect, because he's the one man who has directed both old and new Who.
Yes.
So. Mm.
Meanwhile, the Doctor and Donna go to the Shadow Proclamation, which is where they...
No, they go to the to Optometry and Visual Sciences in Cardiff.
Be quiet.
Thank you for taking the words out of my mouth there, Rhys.
Same location for the Torchwood dead man walking.
Oh.
there's a big, long scene where Owen is on the same stairs.
Right, bear with me just a moment, because the I had a Blu-ray playing in the other room of the Olympic Games, and the pause has come to its end. It's now switched back to TV, so now I can hear the TV in the other room, so I'm just about to turn it off. Bear with me just a moment.
Okay.
Is that the same location where Owen chooses to kill himself with the radiation?
I don't think so.
Okay, so that wasn't in that same episode.
It may be the same. Fictionally, I think it's the same.
Okay.
Is it the one set in the hospital with that kind of very badly CGI'd death representation type thing?
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, so the Doctor...
I was just going to say, this is the bit where I was actually going to open with Loco Joko.
What's Yoko Ono got to do with it? This is Doctor Who. I hope he's just been in it yet. Of course, we get a mention of all the planets, the disappearing planets that had been mentioned earlier on the series, like Pyrovilia and Clum and the lost moon of Poosh.
Pyrovilia.
And the Adipose breeding planet as well.
I love saying that, Poosh.
Yeah, thank you. Would you like the way I said it? Anyway,
yeah, we all just want to get it in, that's all.
I beg your pardon, that's what she said, of course. Magic's let one go. He knows he has two.
You are informed today.
His ears. Don't put. I don't know if he's farted or his ears burning because he's got his ear in the blooming heater. Oh, he won't have a pointed ear for much longer. It'd be a slightly singed one. Anyway, back to Doctor Who. What's that aircraft carrier that flies? What's it called again?
Valiant.
That's down, apparently. Well, it looks like it's up in the air to me, but anyway. According to Captain Jack, it's down. Michael Brandon, who, of course, was in Dempsey and Makepeace. Dempsey and Makepeace was one of my favourite series from the 1980s, and I always thought that Glynis Barber, which is Michael Brandon's wife, was and is utterly beautiful. Anyway, back to Doctor Who. she was in EastEnders last year, or the year before last. And she was pretty nice looking. Oh, yeah, she's nice. That's Michael Brandon's wife, Glynis Barber. So Michael Brandon, he was also in some American pro shows because he's American. So it's nice. They should get some American actors.
Not in this episode, but the next one we're going to talk about.
Anyway, he orders Martha to put on this Sontaran sort of... transmat thing, and now I have to pause to get Mr. Haynes on, and it's be interested to see what his excuse is, but I'm quite glad he's got one. Excuse that.
I don't think he needs it.
Robert.
He probably had to eat his dinner.
That's not an excuse. Yeah. Don't eat on this show.
Chris usually saves that for the podcast.
Yeah, he does, and his flatulence to go along with it. And why not?
Good evening.
Hello. Mr. Robert Haynes. Ladies and gentlemen, this is Robert Haynes.
Hello, Robert.
Hello.
Hello.
How's everybody? Sorry if I'm a bit late. The doctor's been at the doctor's.
Now, we thought, didn't we? I thought there might be a medical reason, but we thought that was going to be a medical reason that was going to keep you out of the whole show. So I'm quite pleased that's not actually the case.
Good news. Yes,
you know what time my appointment was?
No.
3:30 in the afternoon. Do you know what time I actually got sore? About 6:45. That's very good timing, isn't it? Yeah, really good.
I would have thought you got sore quite a long time before, and she went to the doctor's.
Pong-tish.
Anyway, right. We've only got another 38 minutes of Mary, Robert, so we'll have to dispense with the
8 minutes of Mary?
No, 38 minutes. Now 37. So I'll tell you where we got up to. We're up to the bit where Michael Brandon.
The last move of food.
Be quiet. We've got to a bit where Michael Brandon has just given Freema Agyeman a Sontaran transmat suit and ordered her to take the Osterhagen key with her.
Osterhagen key?
Yeah.
Who invented that?
Just prior to getting done in by a load of Daleks. So basically, Michael Brandon lasts about 17 minutes and 21 seconds. Captain Jack is meanwhile on the phone telling Martha not to do it because the Sontaran technology hasn't really been tested properly, so it could basically obliterate her. And he thinks that's what's happened while spitting his lines at Eve Miles.
It's just his lines.
And yet he knows enough about it that he has her report some numbers from it later on in order to get his little risk doohickey to work again.
Yeah, he didn't want that
and
bit.
And he's discovered it very professionally with a soldier at a bar.
Apparently. Yeah. Your voice has gone funny, Reese. Have you changed to a different microphone?
You've gone all muffled.
Have I?
Yes.
Yeah.
Take that scarf off your mouth.
Yeah. You've gone from quite good quality audio to not very good quality audio.
I don't know what to do about that.
Fiddle with your microphone connection. It sounds sounds very muffled. Meanwhile, back to Doctor Who. We see Dalek Khan and his wiggly spaghettiness. totally bonkers, but great. And of course, he's sort of seen all that's unfolding in some sort of way, but you can't specify.
Tell me something about these stupid Daleks. Do they always go exterminate?
Robert,
yes.
Your fan is blowing on something again.
Or you're kicking your microphone.
I've got this stupid cat which is trying to eat my dinner. Go!
Sounds like it's eating the microphone.
Yeah. We knew it. We knew you were going
to. It sounds like your microphone's already been eaten, Reese, to be fair. But anyway, Donna's starting to show signs of weirdness while speaking to a strange woman with blonde hair and red eyes. So basically the doctor's sussing things out, isn't he? And then he tries to leg it. That they say he can't go. He says, okay, well, I'll come back again. Legs it anyway. your fan, Robert, is there any chance you can put it in the position you had it last week?
It's not. It's probably me shoving food into my mouth that's making every time I see.
I don't know about that.
Who's doing that? That's not me.
Oh, I don't know about that. That's really sort of.
That wasn't me.
Is it not?
Not me.
No.
It's not me.
Yeah, and it's not me.
It's not me.
Now, the last time you had us each turn our microphone off, it ended up being Robert.
Yeah, it did. Right, Robert.
Blame me.
Blame you again. That's what?
Can I have my microphone and you see if it's
me? Yes, go on then.
Yes. It's him.
It's definitely him. What a surprise.
Thanks.
Mine is like something is rubbing up against your microphone.
Well, hey, that's what she said.
That's all I'm here for, is deliver lines that you can respond to with. That's what she said.
Oh, sorry, that was my chair. I've got a new chair. Somebody down the road left outside their house two chairs with Please Take Me sign on them. So I took one of them, and which I'm sat on. It's quite a nice, sturdy little chair. And somebody else further up the road took the other one when I was just going to go back to get it myself. But there you go. Anyway, back to Doctor Who.
Have you ever seen that Big Bang Theory episode where they bring in a chair and it's got things living in it?
Yeah. Oh, I haven't checked for things living in it.
No, I didn't see that one.
Hmm. Anyway, the Daleks, meanwhile, in Penarth, rounding up people to beam up to their ship, and one person... What?
The cat.
One person decides to, sort of disobey them a little bit, and gets sort of exterminated.
Exterminated?
Yes.
Exterminate.
Now that's a bit, right? Now do you not remind me? I think that was just
why?
Because the Daleks were actually thought of out of the Nazi stuff.
Yeah.
I thought that was quite a nice little touch they put that in there, because basically that's what the Nazis would have said, so they've put Daleks in Germany.
Davros is
quite like... The link.
Well, the game and
that's in the next episode, not this one.
Okay. Anyway, and meanwhile, Wilf shoots a Dalek with a paint gun, which again, I love that concept.
Well,
Wilf.
That was his idea. The actor,
Bernard Cribbins.
He phoned up Russell T. Davies and said, "Hey, wouldn't it be a good idea if we put this thing in?" And he didn't think that he would be taken seriously. And next thing he knew, there yeah. it was
in the script.
Brilliant. I mean, of course, he's wearing a sort of red bobble hat with a paratroop badge on it, which is another nice touch. Because that
adds to a nice list of comedy moments from him.
Yeah.
Yes.
Is my microphone working, by the way?
Yes, it is working.
No. Yeah, you're sounding pretty normal.
I can't hear you. I can't hear you, Reese.
Oh, good. I unplugged it. It should be working now.
Anyway, the doctor's gone to the area where all the planets are supposed to be. Torchwood are sulking a little bit, and everybody's sort of sitting down, contemplating stuff, cuddling each other, and Rose is sort of... Rose is now with the with Donna's family. And then...
We don't have a webcam because they're naughty.
Meanwhile, somebody's still having their microphone buffeted by wind.
It's me when I'm shoving food in my mouth. Sorry.
Well, I'm shoving food in your mouth.
That's a bit cruel.
I'm hungry.
Where did we get up to? Sorry. Harriet Jones, former Prime Minister, is.
We know who she is.
Yeah, I know she is too. She's trying to get through to everybody via a Skype link. A slightly better Skype link. So Skype seems to have gone back in technology in the years. But.
And you note that she references that it was created by the Mr. Copper Foundation.
Yeah, what's that all about?
Yeah. What? Listen, Kirby.
Go on.
Mr. Copper from the Titanic episode, who had the credit card with millions of dollars on it.
Okay, thank you for that.
He was in Revelation of the Daleks.
Yeah, I didn't quite get the link, but thank you anyway. Anyway, Martha, meanwhile, has beamed straight to her house where Eyebrow Woman flies down the stairs and gives her a call.
And hold on, you've got to refer to Rose as Tooth Woman then.
No, we already done that.
We already referred to her as Bingo. Okay.
No, she is Bingo. Have you also noticed, with this German thing with the Daleks and Martha going to Germany, the hairstyle that they've decided to give Freema Agyeman for this episode is very Hitlerish. I felt that quite strongly. Not that she's playing a Hitlerish character, it was very... Oh, never mind. Oh, but an email just come through from Matthew Kressel, but we can't do that just yet.
He'll review it all for us. We won't have to say it.
Yes, it's unusual. We're going to be talking about it first. Yeah. Harriet Jones dies a
of this is your chance, Reese.
It is Jones, isn't it? It's Harriet Jones.
Yeah.
Lots of Joneses in this.
Richard
Jones.
RTD mentions that in his commentary. He uses lots of Jones and Smith.
Yes, clearly.
It's easy.
Yeah, clearly. A bit too easy.
But Mickey says that we Smiths have to stick together when they help out.
Yes, and it's also very Welsh in relation to the Joneses, anyway.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, more rubbing on microphones. Meanwhile, the TARDIS is flying down a very...
phone number that they all call is apparently the phone number of a crew member.
Is it? I
wonder how many calls he got after the
episode. Yeah, I wonder
I didn't know that. Right, let's go and give him a call. Anyway, so the TARDIS is flying down a very retro, sort of strange, sort of load of silver rings at the moment. And the other planets start coming into view.
Doctor's and the Daleks detect.
Yes, that's right, the Daleks detect
the signal.
And, of course, the Doctor then can see Torchwood and flirts with... Eve Miles' character, and of course Rose.
Donna is interested in Jack.
Rose can see him, but he can't see her.
Who is that?
And of course, when Rose sees Martha, she goes, "Who's she?"
Jack does a little bit of flirting with Sarah Jane, too.
Yeah.
Yes. Of course.
And then, of course, Donna does some flirting with Jack later on in the episode. Then, of course, we have Davros appears. I tell you what, he's blimmin' good. He's blimmin' good. Because I can't separate him from the previous incarnations of Davros. Absolutely convincing. And stop blowing on your microphone.
Robert, hit mute what? When you're chewing on something.
I've finished chewing.
Or stop breathing.
Again!
God. Anyway, yes.
I can't win.
Anyway, so yeah, Davros makes this episode for me. Brilliant. Because a lot of these bringing back old villains hasn't quite worked, but it's... what on earth is going on now?
What? I just took the headphones out, it's all right.
Anyway, all right. I can hear me.
Sound yeah, you no. sound way better. Yeah.
Well, I don't.
Echo.
I can't hear an echo.
I don't hear an echo.
Well, I can. Oh, I can't now. Hey, right, I'll carry on. yeah, so Davros is...
This is quite a technically disastrous show.
Yeah, I know. Not my fault, listeners.
Oh,
I'm back again. Hello.
And Davros and all those Daleks. Mm. More RTD porn.
Yeah, and also Davros is sex. Davros gets naked and shows a bit of his six pack.
Well, you notice that Davros, some continuity. Davros had his hand shot off in Revelation.
Yes, and he's got a bionic hand.
This robot hand.
Yes.
Yes.
Actually gives him a little more flexibility to do things.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, so the Daleks are basically infiltrating everywhere and shooting everybody. Meanwhile, Captain Jack decides he gets the base codes for this transmat thing from Martha and the Ossakagan situation. Decides to leave his best friends behind in Dorchwood to face death. And
speaking of which, when he heard the Dalek voices, he said, "I'm so sorry, we're dead." You're not.
Yes. Yeah. So the Daleks then sort of land in Torchwood and everywhere else, actually. And I love the reaction actually that Sarah Jane has when she realizes it's the Daleks and just says, "Oh, we're dead," and "Oh, you're only 14," and blah blah blah. And then she decides to leave Luke in the capable hands of, or not hands, but you know, being looked after by a computer.
The cybernetic hands of Mr. Smith.
That's it. Basically, to save us from having to put up with his poor acting for the rest of the proceedings.
Yeah.
Which I could say, nothing against him. He does improve quite considerably as Sarah Jane Adventures goes on. Unfortunately, just as it gets really good, he sort of gets sort of left out of this. The series anyway. Right, there's a clip when the Doctor and Donna land in my mate's road next to the building. He took a picture of the TARDIS on his mobile to send me to make me feel incredibly jealous. And to make it even worse...
Well, you need to post that picture.
I haven't got it anymore. So it was on my old Nokia phone. I haven't got it anymore. But make things even worse, he said he'd seen Daleks and the TARDIS. So he took a picture of the TARDIS by this church thing or hall where you see it in the episode, and he wrote the word Daleks.
Oh no.
Anyway, we see Bingo with
that's
his blonde wig.
That's supposed to be an American way of
I know. So we see
Elix?
Darlex. Yeah.
Oh, Darlex.
Yeah, now this bit here, right, we see Bingo and she starts running towards the Doctor and he sprints high speed for about a minute. Right, then gets
so
shot.
It's a long road.
Yeah, but it isn't that long. I've been down there. Gets shot by the Dalek, and but when they say the Captain Jack says get him back into the TARDIS, it seems to be quite a quick process that they get from halfway along this road back.
Because they
to
put
the...
it in slow motion, pretty much.
So, yeah, so the Doctor gets done a shot, and Jack turns up just a couple of seconds too late, idiot, and. get him into the TARDIS. They get him into the TARDIS. Meanwhile, Torchwood are getting ready for a little battle. Doesn't Gwen phone up her husband?
A little man with a gun? Yes, she does.
No, she phones up her husband and says, "I love you, you idiot," or something like that. Yeah, I love the way
the beginning of the episode.
I love the way Jack deals with the situation inside the TARDIS when he realizes the Doctor's dying. So get away from me, get away, because something's happening. I just love that whole setup.
Yeah.
The way, and of course, his hand starts glowing.
Oh. Wait, yes? How does he know? How does he know? I mean, he knows that the Doctor regenerates, but he wasn't there when the Doctor regenerated.
Yeah, but he's never watched the process.
There's so much.
He doesn't know what it was.
I'm doing the Kirby. But he's been alive for a long time. We don't know that he hasn't bumped into any other Doctors during his time, do we?
And well, how long did he spend? So I think he just heard the Doctor say that and thought, I'd better get away from him.
Yeah. Anyway.
How long did Jack spend buried underneath Torchwood?
Quite a long time.
2,000 years, was it?
Something like that, yeah.
Something like that.
Anyway, the Daleks turn up at Torchwood and they start shooting at them. And then Sarah Jane turns up and sort of says something on the lines of, I surrender. And then the Doctor stands
Daleks
up and says, too late.
Surrender, so they're just going to kill her anyway.
I'm regenerating. And then we see that what I have no doubt in saying is the greatest cliffhanger in Doctor Who history.
For sure.
Yes.
Because for the whole days, I didn't know how they were going to get out of this one. I had not got a clue. We even thought they had actually recast the part of the Doctor secretly, and we were going to get a new Doctor in the next episode.
That's what I was thinking.
So that, for me,
greatest one. Because this is kind of preempting what Captain Ian Kirk has to say, but he said he thought it would have been RTD's last story, but they did the specials anyway. But I'm sure if things had kind of gone a bit more to plan, this could have been his last story and also David Tennant's last story.
Yeah, I think it would have been a great way to bring in a new Doctor that way.
Yeah,
right.
But they didn't. But it doesn't matter. But I mean, so that would have been fantastic. You know, for nobody to know it was going to happen, and then to have that as a cliffhanger, and then have a new Doctor step into the role at that point.
Definitely,
it would have just sort of blown.
Well, I hope they can do it in the future. They keep it secret that they've cast someone new.
Yeah, it would be. It'd be great. I mean, they could do it in some way. Just film a few different actors, and they're sort of. They could have Doctor Who Idol and have the public decide which one they want to play.
Yeah, and I have to confess, as much as I loved David Tennant at the time, when it turns out to be still David Tennant, I was actually just a little bit disappointed because I was looking forward to the surprise of who would be the new Doctor.
And also, I think I was a bit disappointed even though I accepted it, I was a bit disappointed with the siphoning off the energy into the hand thing. It's far enough. I mean, like I say, it's science fiction fantasy, so it doesn't matter. But I was a bit disappointed that's how they got
out of it.
Yeah, but it made sense to a certain degree. But what I did like was the expression on John Barrowman's face when this ended. He's holding a rose in one arm and Donna in the other and just looking completely bewildered. I just love that expression. So Sarah Jane is just about to get done in by Daleks. But then Mickey and Jackie turn up with some big guns. Just at the right time. Unlike Captain Jack, just at the right time to save Sarah Jane. But never mind. Don't mind. So, it's all good fun.
The universes too, not just travelling to another point in this one.
Yeah.
Come on, Jack. Yes. You need to
amazing.
Game.
These are cast members we haven't included yet, so more RTD porn.
More fan porn.
And then we have
he's just pulling out every stop.
I know. But then we have the Matrix moment with the bullets.
In the scene in Torchwood,
where
the bullets are stopped.
Yes.
That's always irritated me because Gwen puts her finger in there and touches a bullet, which if it had stopped that way, it would be extremely hot.
Thank you, Kirby. Thank you, Magic, for letting another one go. At least I'm just checking his ears not on fire.
Time too.
Sorry.
Wouldn't true. Have been except paused in time.
Oh no! Now you've added another thing Kirby can add to the list.
I didn't think. I thought if she was actually touching the time bubble, not the actual bullet.
Yeah, I didn't think she touched the bullet. I thought she touched.
She gets almost to it. I mean, it should be radiating quite a lot of heat.
All right, thank you for that.
Anyway, these are among the last last scenes ever filmed in the hub before it was redressed for the next story.
Okay. Anyway, meanwhile,
it's the main, one of the main sets for the Christmas story for next Doctor.
It? Oh, cool. Anyway.
Yeah, but I think these episodes should just be trashed and forgotten about because Kirby found some technical details that didn't work.
Anyway,
he hasn't mentioned that planets can't be moved like that without tearing themselves to bits because of
never mind
fields or whatever.
Anyway, right. How
do they maintain things without the sun as well? You know.
Well, they said that. They explained that.
They mentioned that.
Yeah, they explained they got some sort of shield that keeps the heat in.
Put a shell around the planet to keep in the heat and the air.
Yeah.
So he's fine with that, but yet,
that
really bothers him.
The baloney.
Anyway, back to Dr. Blimmin' Who.
One explained the plot and the other wasn't.
All right. Can we get back to the storyline?
There's a ladder, Kirby. I'll help you suspend your imagination.
There's a bit where the Doctor and Rose have a hug in the TARDIS and then Donna says to Captain Jack, oh, I could do with a hug. Yes. No, I could do with a hug.
Yes. Really, I can.
Really, I can do with a hug, yeah. You can hug me.
So the Daleks then
and
nick...
the look at his face is kind of...
Did you ever get that... that old McLean's toothpaste advert where that everybody smiled, have a little like a halo around their face. That's what I got, remind me of when the Daleks put a ring around the TARDIS when they sort of kidnapped it.
Yeah. Are your McLean showing?
Something like that. Mickey explains that their little transmat, sort of ultra dimensional transmat thing that has to recharge in about half an hour. Sarah Jane decides to give herself
plot
up to
point.
The Daleks because she wants to get where the Doctor is, so they all decide to give themselves up. Martha, meanwhile, has a word with Eyebrow Woman.
I like how Mickey kisses his gun.
Yes. Yeah, that's good.
Actually, there's something interesting. That's quite a blatant plot point they set up, that it takes half an hour to charge up.
Yes.
But in the previous episode at the end, Jack takes Rose's gun and he has his own. He leaves it on the seats inside the TARDIS, and later on, at the end of this one, he runs in and gets them out again, but there's nothing big made of it when he puts them down, and I like that subtle touch.
Yeah. Anyway, so she says to Eyebrow Woman that she's got to do her job, and you know, and she's sorry. And interestingly, she pulls the two handles on her parachute things, but the parachute doesn't actually come out. She actually ends up in Germany.
An interesting thing is when I watched it this time on Netflix, her arrival in Germany and all that German that they talk, I do not remember that being in the original broadcast.
So I
wonder if that was... Yeah, because they have to take stuff out in the U.S. for commercials, and I wonder if that got sacrificed.
Could be.
For the American... I don't know.
But her landing in Germany and meeting up with the woman at that German stronghold, I don't remember that being there the first time, but it was... So that was all new to me this time.
You mean at Castle Cook in Cardiff?
Yeah.
I don't know, because it was like that, because during the commentary, they were doing the commentary before they'd even added the special effects, and they note that she's speaking in German, and RTD is telling us what she's saying and all this as well.
Well, yeah, but you're watching... CD with a commentary. I'm saying when it was originally broadcast.
Yeah, I know.
Anyway,
I don't remember. I don't remember.
I was surprised to see that scene.
We've already alluded to the fact that the Daleks speaking in German and stuff like that. Meanwhile, the TARDIS itself has ended up at the Dalek Crucible. Is that the right place?
Mm. Yes.
Donna keeps zoning out. She sort of just...
Because she keeps hearing that heartbeat.
Yes, which is obviously the future heartbeat.
Very, very master-like.
Yeah.
Yes, that's what I thought.
And, so obviously then we get to the scene where they all step out, apart from Donna, who gets drawn back into the TARDIS, and have a word with the Supreme Dalek, and then Donna gets shut in the TARDIS.
Have a word.
Yeah, that's basically what they're doing, is having a chat.
The Supreme Dalek, it looks like he has a nose with that thing going.
The TARDIS gets dropped on what looks like a lava pool, which is at the core of the crucible. Obviously they're convinced it's going to die. And Donna, meanwhile, is in the middle of the TARDIS while all these explosions are going off, which is very reminiscent to when they actually got destroyed in the 11th hour. And
End of time, and
the 11th hour. I think it happened in both, didn't it? I can't remember.
But anyway,
then she gets drawn to the hand, and then she touches the hand, and things happen, and then a naked Doctor appears. Sorry, naked David Tennant appears. I love her reaction to that. You're naked.
Yeah. She just kind of looks away. She goes, uh-oh. You're naked. Yeah.
David Tennant in the commentary was saying that it was rather uncomfortable because of that floor is kind of...
Looks like a cheese grater, the floor, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Hard.
Yeah, so basically that saves the day because he's able to get the TARDIS out of there.
Well, we only see him from the waist up, so why would he have to be barefoot, I wonder?
Well, I don't know, but good point. Yeah, so Captain Jack then gets himself killed for a sort of distraction, really. The other Doctor puts his clothes on.
And do you notice that he does that little wink after he's killed, and he doesn't do the...
No, that's right, yeah. Yes, that's just convenient. Dramatic. Convenient for the plot, obviously.
I think he does that to scare people most of the time.
You would have thought he got used to it by now, wouldn't you? It's coming back to life.
Probably has.
Then we see some flashbacks to the fact that Donna has been sort of the centre of everything for quite a long time. Meanwhile, Martha...
I hadn't noticed.
Martha reaches this castle that you referred to in Cardiff, and eventually, after
a
bit of...
I love the way Kirby's described his list of things that he does when he watches the episode. He watches it once... And he watches it with the commentary, but recently he's been adding looking up the locations they film them into his list.
Yes.
I've always done that.
But before Martha can get into the little room where she's got to do her business, that's the toilet, obviously, she gets threatened by this woman who can't bring herself to kill her, conveniently. And
by the way, that is the interior of that castle.
Oh, that's good then.
Thank you.
So they made use of it. So yeah, there's also, meanwhile... Sarah Jane and the others, which is Jackie and Mickey, have sort of been rounded up along with a load of other humans.
The German woman keeps referring to the Daleks as nightmares.
Ah.
Interesting.
Yes.
That's of course, the German word she's using.
The Doctor meets up with Davros. They have fairly good interactions with each other. I quite like the banter.
Face to face.
It's really good stuff. And Dalek Khan, of course, continues his bonkersness.
Wasn't that funny?
Yeah, so like I say, the others are rounded up, and this is where we have the mention of this weapon, which is, what is it called again? This doesn't make sense to me. What was it called, the weapon?
Reality Bob.
Now, if you remember, at the end of the episode, Davros says, Doctor, I name you as the destroyer of the worlds. Yes, he was just about to use a reality bomb that's going to destroy... worlds.
Well,
so,
to be fair, he didn't do it.
But he meant to do it. So,
it makes me curious as to why they're so worried about Martha using the Osterhagen key, because that would destroy the Earth, and that was what they wanted to do anyway.
No,
so
but
why
they
would
wanted
they care
to,
whether she was going
to
do
destroy
it?
All life in the universe.
Yes.
And without
without the Earth, without one planet, the balance of their sort of device,
the reality bomb wouldn't have worked.
Yes, that's it.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
Okay.
One planet. And it would not work, one planet gone, so that's the whole idea of it. Although when they made the Osterhagen device, they wouldn't have known that would have been it. It would just destroy the planet. No. But again, don't have made much difference. Anyway, basically one person gets killed by this thing. Mickey and that get away by a slight distraction. And then, fortunately, Jackie's little sort of transmat thing comes to life just in time before she gets done.
Oh, and did you notice, Adam, the lady that she was helping? She's a former EastEnders.
EastEnders actress, yes. She played, I can't remember her name, Gita.
Gita, that's right.
Gita. Yes, in EastEnders, a long time ago.
Now, did you notice their dimensional transmat things that have a different, they look slightly different. They don't look as much like toys.
Oh, right, okay, I didn't notice that, actually. I like the reunion where Jack appears, at the right place this time, and the interaction between him and Mickey. That's enough hugging, says Mickey. That's great stuff.
I like Mickey in this story.
Oh, he's great, yeah.
I think he gets better and better each time you see him.
Of course, the second to last time we ever see him. And of course,
just go back to the first episode that he's in, though, and look how pathetic he is.
I know, but people do grow, don't they, depending on the experiences they have.
Well, Rory was kind of the same. He was kind of like a lovable clown in the 11th hour, but then he became the last centurion.
Well, they all kind of grow. All of the Doctor's companions grow in confidence
they
and
do.
Power.
Sarah Jane has a warp star around her neck. Of course, it doesn't weigh down too much, fortunately.
Was that actually in a Sarah Jane episode, that one?
I'm not sure. Oh, I'm back again. Hello, me. I've gone again. Never mind. Anyway, so basically,
never mind.
Okay. Martha's managed to get hold of a couple of these other Osterhagen key people.
Why didn't that guy want to give his name? The guy from Libya, I think it was. He says, I don't want to give my name given what we're going to do, but going to die in the end, so.
Does
it matter?
Yeah, I wondered about that too.
Yeah, I don't understand. There must have been somewhere.
The little Osterhagen key, it's Liberia, not Libya. The Osterhagen key control rooms that they're
Liberia.
In.
Did you say Liberia? Yeah. That's obviously silent. Silence in the Liberia.
That's the Torchwood entrance set. Well, with the big gear has been redressed for that.
Oh,
well done, Kirby. I wonder where you got that information from. Anyway,
commentary.
Okay, commentary.
Anyway, right. So so Davros is.
So why don't we do this podcast? Why don't we just all listen to the commentary?
Yes. Yeah.
Captain Jack, be quiet.
Some people don't have them.
Captain Jack has attached.
To providing these people with information.
Be quiet. Captain Jack has attached some of those things that the kids used to plat with. What were they called again? I can hear myself. Hello, mate. Oh, stopped again.
Hello,
you. Some wires, basically, to this warp star thing. Apparently, that's an explosion waiting to happen. And then, of course, Davros has a go at the doctor saying about all the people that have died in his name, and he looks a bit perturbed.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, I like that. No people from the new series, though.
Sorry?
No people from the old series that he's killed. Only from
the
new
series.
Yeah,
well, they don't count, apparently.
Yeah.
It's weird, actually. There are lots of nods. Obviously, Davros returns, and there's a moment between him and Sarah, and he says, oh, that face, I know you. But the doctor says, when he sees everyone on the screen, he says, almost everyone but Rose and all the other previous companions you had in the classic series. So it's a weird mix of referencing the past, but totally ignoring the past at the same time.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Anyway. I'm sorry, I'm racing along because I've only got 5 minutes left.
Thank you.
Where'd I get up to? So Martha has been, I think, beamed out of the little room where she was going to be, is now in with all the other... That's it. I said beamed, same sort of thing. The doctor, the human doctor, runs out of the TARDIS. Thank you. The human doctor runs out of the TARDIS and at Davros and gets sort of lightning bolted with his finger, as does Donna.
Which he did in Revelation of the Daleks.
Yeah. It's fine. Then the little gun that they made gets destroyed. The other doctor gets sort of sealed in some sort of force field thing. Then Donna sort of comes back, not to life, but she comes more to life, I suppose, and starts acting a bit like a mixture between Dr. Donna, as she is Dr. Donna.
Uh-huh. And, I wonder how David Tennant felt about having his sort of acted back at him, sort of.
He loved it at the beginning.
Yeah.
They did the same thing where it started going, oi!
A lot of people found it annoying the fact that Donna was just messing around with the Daleks, making them go around in circles, and I didn't have a problem with it. I thought it was... They were still menacing up to the time that she had control over them anyway, and I quite liked the fact that they were sort of making them look stupid at this point.
Right.
I don't mind. I don't like it when they make them look stupid when they're supposed to be menacing. Yes. But when she's got control over them, that's fine. I don't think there's a problem with that.
Well, one of those Daleks has a Blue Peter presenter inside of it.
Not Matt.
They put him in the credits.
Matt Baker, by any chance?
Because I'm not that familiar with Blue Peter.
I wouldn't be surprised if it's Matt Baker. He seems to get on everything. I've just been watching my Olympic Blu-ray, and he's commentating on the blooming gymnastics on that, so he does tend to get on a level. Also, the fact that David Tennant is in this episode, he was on the Jonathan
Gethin
Ross show
Jones.
Last night. What? Gethin. Oh, Gethin Jones, yes. He isn't he the boyfriend of Catherine Jenkins? Or he was. Anyway, he was on David Tennant on Jonathan Ross last night, announced that Georgia is pregnant, so they're going to have another baby. Isn't that lovely? Ah.
Baby number two.
Was asked about whether he's going to be in the 50th anniversary, was very coy and dismissive. But yeah, John, exactly Jonathan Moss...
There is absolutely everybody who's been asked.
And so was, I don't know, as you guarantee, the people that are actually going to be in it are the ones that are being, so I don't know, I haven't spoken to anyone, but the ones that aren't going to be in it, the ones say, nope, not at all. But he basically, Jonathan Ross didn't take no for an answer. He was...
And he also called him Doctor Who, which drove me mad.
I posted that video on Facebook.
Anyway, three minutes to go, and the Doctor and everybody else are getting the upper hand on the Daleks, who then all get destroyed because the human Doctor presses a button and commits genocide, which rather annoys the Doctor. It's very confusing, all these Doctors. They all leg it into the TARDIS, and this is where, of course, Davros says, I name you as Destroyer of Worlds, when, of course, it's really Davros. He's just trying to pass the button.
And that girder falls down.
The girder falls.
He is in lots of episodes.
And then we see everybody steering the TARDIS, which is a lovely scene that I posted a picture of.
Gorgeous.
They start playing 20 my favourite megabyte music.
Doctor Who podcast Facebook group. Great stuff. Bit silly. Some people hate it, don't they? The fact the idea of the Earth being towed back through space. It's a fantasy, bloody science fiction program!
It's a family fantasy program.
God's sake. The word is quite fantasy. It's fun.
It's the big farewell. It's the, what do they call it when orchestras play their best song at the end?
It's also got all the blimmin' characters in it. Yes. It's fantastic.
But it wasn't, though.
It's the one and only time we'll ever see Sarah Jane... Captain Jack.
It's the last time
Rose,
he has companions.
Donna,
it's kind of, a wrap-up of...
It's superb.
He had them all back in the last episodes that he did, though.
We even get a bit of canine in it, who comes out of this little wormhole, too. I mean, Eyebrow Woman did a little bit of a special scene hiding under a table. And, it's just lovely. I can just quickly flirt through the back, because they arrive back, everybody's fine again. They've gone back through space, and nobody got killed, and... Earth being shaken around. It's a lovely day as well. No weather problems.
And then Mickey stays in his original universe rather than going back.
So he puts his arm around Martha, which then indicates, of course, that they end up together What was that funny noise?
I said, did he actually put his arm around her? I saw him join up with Captain Jack.
I'm pretty sure he puts his arm around her.
Both.
He puts his arm around both of them, of course. That means
that
he wasn't going to go off with Captain Jack.
It means he's bi, huh?
Bi? Are we going now? I thought.
No. I said it means he is bisexual.
Bi. Anyway, so they go back to Bad Wolf Bay, and this is when we get that long drawn out scene of Rose and Doctor and. We know what happens, basically.
Go on.
Love you, Rose.
I wish they'd left in the scene where the Doctor gives the half-human Doctor on his mother's side the piece of coral so he grows on TARDIS.
They should have left that in. I agree. They should have left that in. Made sense.
It's 7 o'clock and I have to go.
Let me just finish with I've forgotten about Jackie's had a baby.
Do you remember? Oh, yes.
What was the name of the baby? There's the quiz question. What name did they give to the baby?
Tony,
that's it. Oh, well. So we've got to have Tony Tyler sometime in Doctor Who in the future, haven't we? Just to quickly go past the rest of it, the Doctor and Donna leave. Donna goes loopy in the TARDIS. The Doctor takes out all the bad things, so she has to forget everything. If she remembers anything, she'll burn up. Go back to the house where her family are, and it's all very sad. Has to say goodbye, and Wilf's a bit upset. And that's basically the end of it. And they were supposed to see a scene of the Doctor at the console looking all upset and with two Cybermen appear behind him. Quite glad that didn't happen, because the Cybermen never got into the TARDIS at all during the actual Christmas special. And that's it. So, Mary, what do you think?
Oh, well, I mean, I've been saying it all along. I had a laugh all the way through both episodes, because the phrase that kept coming back to me was RTD porn. You want to know what he does late at night when nobody's around? He plays these episodes,
He got married recently, didn't he? Him and his partner got married. I don't know how his partner's holding up in the health front, but there's some lovely pictures of his wedding recently I saw somewhere. Yeah. Anyway, thank you, Mary. Do you like it then?
And thank you. And I guess I'll listen to the podcast to find out when we're doing it again.
Yeah, that's what she said. Anyway, I'm going to go and put the dog's dinner on, and we'll talk about it further in the future.
Listen to it to get my rebuttal about the whole RTD porn. It's fan porn.
Yeah.
Yeah, fan porn. But
thank you. Finally you get your remarks in before Matthew.
Yes. Anyway, thank you, Mary. Goodbye.
Bye, everybody. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Isn't we get, you know, at the end of when they go into Bad Wolf Bay and they're getting out the TARDIS?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Isn't it we get to see David Tennant's double just briefly? Like they left it in? Because he looks very much like David Tennant, doesn't he?
Mm. We did rush over the final scenes, and I've got a couple of things to bring up there. Something that Captain Ian Kirk mentioned in the transcript or the script of his feedback.
I just knocked my mouth.
He mentions that Donna returns, obviously, in the end of time, and I get the sense he's going to be a bit disgruntled by that. So I'm just going to say, when the Doctor took her memories, he also put the little safety thing, just in case she did remember. And it's the thing we see in the end of time.
Yeah,
that's right.
And that makes sense, and I don't see why someone would have a problem with that. It's been explained.
Yeah, that's good. That's true. Anyway, right. Yes. So I do want to say,
whose phone went off a few minutes ago with a tweet?
A tweet
from
a tweet.
Oh, does anyone? Never mind. I heard one of you guys' phone go off. Just as my phone went off because of a tweet from ATSM Podcast.
Oh, yeah, I had that one, yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yes, the saying that we're a good podcast along with a few others. Well, actually, I want to have a look at that one. Let's see what it says.
They've been doing some great music.
It says, Mary Robert, Ian Kirk, Matthew Kress will make a long 5 a.m. commute much more... What?
Click on the link for the rest of it.
Lick on the clink. I've just licked on the clink.
Click on the link.
Get glue, it says. Log in. I'm not doing that. Right, I'm not going to click on that. Anyway, right, so back to the show. Right, this one. Best finale ever. Question mark. it's a very close run thing for me between this one and Parting of the Ways. For me, Parting of the Ways... on its own was a really good finale episode, but as a two-part finale, I probably enjoyed this slightly more. But if you're going to judge it on the actual last episode, it's so tight for me between Parting of the Ways and this one. With Parting of the Ways, you get a full regeneration. This one, you get a regeneration, which doesn't quite pay off. But you get all these characters together in one episode. So it's so difficult to judge it for me. Close run. I suppose it depends what sort of mood I'm in at the time when I'm watching it, but it is a fantastic finale. It really is.
The things that are so good about it are the returning characters and monsters. I think
the monsters. Oh, excellent.
Monsters. I say.
Oh, sorry.
I say monsters.
You do. It's weird.
That's TV show, The Monsters.
Yes. Yeah. So, we liked it, I think we'd safely say. Yes, it's another one we like, listeners.
Who'd have thought?
Yeah.
Doctor Who's amazing.
We're Doctor Who fans that actually like Doctor Who on a podcast. It's a very unusual thing.
They don't exist.
Yes?
A bat in there.
A bat?
No.
Stitch this. Yeah, go on.
RTD would just hold back a bit. Sometimes, because he tends to overindulge.
That's what she said. No, that's what he said. Sorry, that would work with
him. Well, people call it overindulging for him, but the whole point of this, it's for us, because I asked some Twitter and Facebook, I asked people, why exactly do they find it not as enjoyable as many other ones? Because I've heard people criticise things like the scene in the TARDIS where they're all flying it and dragging the Earth back. But it's explained. They've got all the various things helping them to move the planet. And those problems are just little problems that I can look past. And I enjoy the returning characters and the returning monsters.
Yeah. and I have a little bit of a problem with towing the Earth, but it's because... it's just so over the top, but love the scene with everyone around the TARDIS console because
Yeah, I do too.
Finally explain why like the console looks that way.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I agree.
And why the doctor rushes around the TARDIS pushing different things because he can't keep up.
Indeed.
And it's not as it doesn't bother me that much that they're towing the Earth. It just it's like touching bullets that should be hot.
Oh dear.
And the fact that her finger wasn't stopped in the time bubble too, that's going to really irritate you from now on.
Yes.
Imagine she got their finger stuck. Hello, and my finger's frozen in time.
I just couldn't. That's all I focused on this bloody time when I'm watching it was her teeth.
Well,
put fake teeth in her mouth for some reason.
I can hear myself. Shall I have a conversation with me? Hello,
it's
me.
Like eyebrow lady.
How am I? I've just asked that. Hello?
It isn't quite like Blink, is it?
What, me talking to myself?
You're repeating yourself instead of having an actual conversation.
Are we ready for the audio messages?
Yeah.
Okay, we might hear yourselves now. That's me getting my own back. Here we go, then. Let's go for the first one. That goes something like this.
Hello, 20 Megabyte Podcast. This is Ian Kirk. This week, the first hand transplant is taking place, and we review a story where the Doctor regenerates his own second-hand hand. The Stolen Earth and Journey's End by RTD. We have a cast of thousands, well, not quite, but of the 10th Doctor's companions and their living families, the only ones missing are Martha's sister and father, Tish and Leo, and Rose's new father, Parallel Pete. We also have Torchwood, Unit, Sarah Jane, Harriet Jones and Trinity Wells. The gang's all here. I expect RTD thought this was his last story when he was planning it. Then they did the Era Specials with another finale with a huge cast. We saw flashbacks of characters who had died. There was some strange music in the first part. The Doctor aborts his regeneration, putting the energy into the hand he had lost in the Christmas Invasion. This creates a half-human, half-Time Lord hybrid, like the 8th Doctor in the TV movie.
Ah.
Mm. Donna receives some of the regeneration energy, then a blast of electricity from Davros. This gives her Time Lord powers, like Rose at the end of the 9th Doctor.
Yes.
The Spare Doctor destroys all the Daleks, like Rose in Parting of the Ways.
Yes.
The Doctor leaves them and Jackie in a parallel Norway.
Mm.
Towing the Earth across the galaxy was ridiculous.
No, wasn't.
Donna has her mind wiped, and remembering her time in the TARDIS will kill her. Or give her a headache when RTD wants her back in the show. Dalek Khan, the mystic Meg with eight legs, was wrong about the companion dying, but he was mad anyway. This was an enjoyable story, with everybody back for a finale. Bye for now.
And then he also said Mystic Meg is a fortune teller who used to appear on the UK Lottery TV show. Is also it's still, I think, in one of the tabloid newspapers. Although,
and then I posted on Facebook a short commercial that has Mystic Meg in it.
Oh yes, okay, thank you.
Yeah.
Yes, thank
and
you.
And then
Dalek
Khan becomes insane.
Yes.
Yes. Thank you, yes. Ian, by the way. It's great.
This is Matthew from North Alabama.
Hello,
sending
Matthew.
In feedback on the Series 4 finale, The Stolen Earth and Journey's End. In my feedback on Turn Left a couple of weeks ago, I spoke of that episode as the beginning of the Davies Roundup. And this two-parter, that comes to fruition. The result is one of the most epic Doctor Who stories ever produced. This two-parter brings together characters and elements from across the entirety of the Davies era. Every companion, characters from the various spin-off shows, and elements, such as the hand the 10th Doctor lost way back in the Christmas Invasion, and the Medusa Cascade referenced back in Series 3, all come into play. This is both a good thing and a bad thing. Good in that Davies brings together all these elements into one cohesive story, but bad in that there are characters who seem to show up just to make obligatory cameo appearances, such as Luke from the Sarah Jane Adventures. This two-parter also sees the return of the Daleks and, after a two-decade absence, their creator, Davros. We get a full-fledged Dalek invasion of Earth here, something we've only had glimpses of in the past, and which is well realized through a combination of the Mills CGI work and the actual Dalek props themselves. The result is one of the most effective uses of the Daleks on television. Somewhat less successful is Davros, though I don't fault Julian Beach's performance, though I'd love to have seen Terry Molloy return to the role. But I do fault the writing, which takes the character back to the cliched raving madman, rather than the cold, calculating character who was originally introduced in Genesis of the Daleks and developed in the Big Finish audios. I suspect that this two-parter's controversial reputation within Doctor Who fandom has a lot to do with the cliffhanger to Sullen Earth, its resolution in Journey's End, and the sequence where we see the Earth being towed back into position by the TARDIS. For my money, after 4 years, I still can't decide if the cliffhanger's resolution is incredibly clever or if it's a cheat, and I can certainly see where people come from in regards to the TARDIS towing sequence, in that while it's effective on a first-time viewing, if you go back and watch it again and again, it does stretch the credibility to a certain extent. But I can forgive these faults, because this is truly one of the most epic and cinematic stories Doctor Who has ever produced. This two-parter's length is almost 2 hours, and Davey Fighting, as well as Graham Harper's direction and the editing, plays up that fact, giving this the pace not of a TV story, but of a movie, with cliffhanger acting as an effective midpoint. And after complaining about the easy way out ending of the last Davey series finale, he seems to have learned a lesson, as Journey End features a sequence of easy solution devices being brought forth and destroyed before the actual solution, properly built up this time, takes place. Though it has its flaws, this is still an effective two-part finale, with its combination of various elements, as well as cinematic length and plotting. This works not just as a finale, but, as was, I suspect, originally intended, the end of an era as well. Those elements as well also make this, for all intents and purposes, Doctor Who's 45th anniversary story. But, as time would prove, for better or worse, Davies and the 10th Doctor's journey hadn't yet ended. Best wishes to everyone at the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who podcast, from Matthew Kressel.
Thank you, Matthew. Another
thank you, Matthew.
It's just as well we reviewed it first, wasn't it?
Yes. exactly.
Yes. So it seems that most of the things we've spoken about have been fairly positive. Like I say, me and Reese disagree with the absurdness of the towing of Earth that Ian mentioned.
I mean, for example, to just kind of poke holes at a very popular story, you can't be sent back in time by things that look like stone angels.
No. Only in Doctor Who.
You can't?
No. No. Apparently not. You can have your neck broken by them, apparently.
I tell you what, though, Reese, watching it this time, I didn't feel as bad about the Earth being towed as I did when I first watched it. How about that?
That's because you paid attention to it actually being explained, that it's still got a bit of a field around it, and Torchwood's helping out, and everyone was helping out.
I do love it when you get a bit of bee in your bonnet, Mr. Parton. It's very entertaining.
As Kip said, it's a bit over the top.
Anyway. Yeah, no, it isn't.
It's fine. I even liked having K-9 pop out at the last second.
That's what she said.
Yeah.
Well, hey.
Something during, though, that reminded me of the Christmas special that we were talking about last week, because I was listening to the Doctor Who podcast this week, and for once I didn't disagree with them, apart from one of them. I think it was James, who was a bit grumpy, isn't he? I think he said he didn't know, but he said, oh, it's so stupid, they've sort of disrespected the Sontarans and made them idiotic. Well, the fact is, I said this when Strax was first in Doctor Who, right? It explains it, right? Most human beings are quite nice, but you get some nasty ones. Well, whereas most Sontarans are quite nasty, but you must get some nice ones. It's just the way the world and universe works, in my view.
Out of 6 million, you must get one out of 6 million.
Why shouldn't Conti be a nice Sontaran? In Star Trek Deep Space Nine, all the Kardashians, and I don't mean Kim and Courtney and that lot, all the Kardashians were fairly bad, apart from the one that lived on Deep Space Nine. He was a goodie. It just works. You can't have every single character in a species to be evil. It doesn't make sense. Like, it doesn't make sense to have every single character to be nice. And that's my view. That's how Strax works for me. I just like his character. I like the fact that the Doctor likes him.
Also, it was explained that he was punished by the Doctor and made to become a nurse, so that's kind of interfered with his normal state of mind.
Yes. Anyway, so Right, I was just also the thing that yeah, go on. Yes, indeed. Yes. Right, so what we've got coming up are the specials soon, and then we've got Series 5, Series 6. And I'm just thinking we probably have to stop this run at Series 6 because we've more or less covered everything as this team. Because we haven't, this team of presenters has not covered Series 5 because it was me and Alicia. Pretty sure Alicia was involved in Series 6, but I'm pretty sure most of you covered Series 6, didn't you? If not, we'll do that anyway. Yeah. Mary certainly wasn't on the show then. But with no point in doing Series 7, I think we'll stop at the end of Series 6. The other thing I was going to say, it's a year since we actually started this series of New Who episodes. So it's quite interesting that we've just finished Series 4 and just about to start Series 5. So, and of course, after the specials. So it's quite exciting. We can get back to watching some classic Doctor Who soon.
Well, yeah.
In a few months' time. But it's also nice the fact that most of the stuff we've watched is we've really enjoyed. So and also my argument that Series 4 was the best of the classic, sorry, of the New Who, certainly of RTD era, was correct. Yeah. Anyway, be interesting to see what we think is the best series of the Moffat era. We'll come to that later.
At the moment, it's a tie for me, and we've only seen half of the latest one, but it's. The next one we're going to review, I'm avoiding saying either words that we have little arguments about, and the one we've just seen. So 5 and 6. And 5 and 7, sorry.
The thing I like about Series 5, Reese, is the fact that it was one whole continuous 13-episode series. I don't like it being split in two. It means we get Doctor Who twice a year, but I prefer to wait to have a nice long 13, even 14-part series if you include the Christmas special.
I think just about everyone does.
Yes.
No, I'm just thinking, though, maybe from the 50th they might be, I don't know, changing it so that it can be having a run of 13 episodes from in autumn or whatever, what I mean?
What I'm hearing on the grapevine is that we've got, obviously, the rest of this series in April, and we've got some specials coming up around the anniversary time, and then we've got Series 8 in 2014, and then that'll be the end of Mr. Smith. Oh, no, he was destroyed in the end of Sarah Jane, wasn't he? Right, let's move on to a bit of news. Pardon? What was that funny song you just sang?
I heard it through the grapevine.
Did you?
You did?
I was just singing that because you said the grapevine.
Oh,
never mind.
No, never mind indeed. Right, when did we last record? Of course, this is Happy New Everyone, New Year, everyone, because this is our first episode of 2013. We made it to 2013. Not a lot
like
of news.
Like we all
actually.
Knew Woo-hoo! We would, except for Adam.
I just like to be prepared for things.
Here's you.
Yeah, thank you.
Yes.
Right, so what have we got here coming up? Not a lot, really. New Year's Honours, Michael Cashman has been made CBE. That's got nothing to do with Doctor Who because it says that singer-songwriter Kate Bush has been made a CB. What's she got to do with Doctor Who?
Yeah.
Maybe she was a Doctor Who fan. I don't know. BBC Kate Radio Bush. 1 DJ Reggie Reggie Yates presented the last edition of the official chart, or his last edition, on the 23rd of December. He has been at the BBC for 10 years and has presented the chart show on Sunday evenings for the last five. Future projects include a documentary series for BBC Three. So obviously not coming back to Doctor Who to play Martha's brother anymore then. All right, what else we got? Official ratings. This was quite interesting, the Snowmen. when they added it all together, including the downloads and recordings on Sky Plus, etc. 9.87 million viewers. It's the most recorded programme ever, apparently. Wow. Which is quite a record to have.
I think that replaces The Impossible Astronaut as the most recorded. Previous most recorded.
Yeah. Top of the list was EastEnders with 11.3 million, but that didn't get as many recordings as Doctor Who did. But that's a big jump from its original estimation of 6 million. So that obviously includes iPlayer viewers and online viewers, etc. So I downloaded it eventually via iTunes, but you know what I was saying last week, that those stupid idiots bought the series pass for £4.98 and they weren't waiting for the next episode to come out. Who's a stupid idiot, do you reckon, then? Because I had to pay a further £2.49, even though I'd already paid for the series pass, for two little prequels. So in all, it cost me £7 odd for the one episode, the Christmas episode, and the two prequels. Thank you, iTunes, you bunch of blimmin'... Oh, if Steve Jobs was still alive, he'd be getting the rough end of my tongue. Not in that way. And no, that's not what she said. 50th anniversary Australian Doctor Who forums and podcasts. To celebrate the 50 years of Doctor Who, John Richards, creator-writer of ABC One sitcom Outland Box Cutters podcast, and Ben McKenzie, Channel 31's Planet Nerd Dungeon Crawl, patron saint of geek comedy, TV Squat magazine, have joined forces to host a year-long performance stroke podcast project entitled The Who Is The Man Podcast. splendid chaps in Melbourne.
All of them.
Australasia. There we go. So... as if, we haven't all been doing podcasts. And nobody in Australia doing podcasts, are there? So they make a big deal out of that. No, people who are more experienced in doing podcasts than Doctor Who thing. They have to make a big deal of making this going to be special 50th anniversary. Well, sod the special 50th anniversary. Listen to your podcasters that have been doing Doctor Who podcasts for God knows how many years. And I include Radio Free Scaro and the Podshock and the Doctor Who podcast, DWO Whocast, and... all the others that have been doing it for a lot longer than us. Well, it's silly, isn't it? Some of us have been doing it for years. Why go to these people who are just going to have been throwing it just for the 50th anniversary? We're still going to be around there for the... We know what we're talking about, don't we, Magic? Fair enough. And it says the Snowmen breaks BBC America ratings record. Do you want to hear what it says? It says the Snowmen...
must have dropped it.
Will you stop?
How many?
Magic's just licking his choppers. He's got his head up against the table where my microphone is, and it's just vibrating everything. I hope I'm still recording. I am.
Is he not licking his testicles?
He hasn't got any testicles.
Okay. Good.
And we didn't keep them in the jar, so he can't go off
with your testicles.
Anyway, The Snowman has given BBC America record ratings, with the Christmas Day special being watched by 1.434 million people, either live or within 7 days. Again,
okay, that's pretty impressive.
We're all alive.
Australia.
What? What about Australia?
Could watch in America. There's a bigger population in America.
Okay. Thank you. That was a rise of 54% on BBC America's ratings for last year. Yeah?
Only Alex.
I can smell something from the kitchen. I'm just going to have to do something to the dog's dinner.
Uh-oh.
Okay.
I can smell burning.
Burning. Uh-oh. Quick. You could have told me, Stars, because it's sitting there. So beaten only by Asylum of the Daleks, which garnered 1.555 million viewers in September. You were one of that 0.5 there, Kirby.
Yep.
Yeah, and Mary.
Mary?
No, she's not there.
Can I say anything, Mary?
That was well timed, right? Oh, that was great.
I think it's someone.
You seen how many books are coming out from Penguin?
I think they're e-shorts.
Yeah, go on.
They're doing a series by well-known authors, established authors, and one of them's going to be J.K. Rowling. But also the first one that's been done is by Owen Colfer, who wrote Artemis Fowl, which is one of my favourite book series. So I'm quite excited about that.
Lost in Space? Ooh, wonder what that's about.
Danger, danger.
No.
Danger, Will Robinson.
Anyway, where was I?
Lost in Space.
You were in the kitchen last I checked.
Yeah, I just opened the back door to let all the steam and smoke out. I'm surprised the smoke alarm didn't go off, actually. Star just sat there nonchalantly next to the heater, just looking at me going, I think my dinner's burning.
Hey, this Prime Minister.
Pardon?
There's a new Yes Prime Minister.
How can he? Poor Eddington's dead, isn't he? I don't know.
Yes, I know he is. But I'm just saying there's a revived and updated Yes Minister.
Oh, is there?
I've got to step away for a few minutes, so I'm going to mute myself, and hopefully we'll still be talking when I get back.
Okay. Doctor Who Adventures, episode 301, is out with some more goodies, free gifts, which is Snowman Mask, an alien quiz, posters, a new comic adventure with the Doctor and Decky Flamboon. Don't know who that is. Monster puzzles and an alien fact file. DVD update.
It's a made-up character.
Oh, is it? Okay, thank you for that.
Yes.
Aren't they all made-up characters?
Missing Moon of Flamboon.
DVD update. Special edition artwork reveal.
Yes.
The cover artwork for the special edition release of Ark in Space and the Aztecs on DVD has been unveiled by designer Lee Binding via the Tea Lady Design Facebook page. Yeah. Very nice, yes. Not as good as Alistair Pearson's artwork, but still.
Very nice.
That's about it. Apparently, Steely Moffat and Mark Gatiss have been nominated. And Mark Gatiss have been nominated for a long-form television category for Sherlock in the 2013 Producers Guild Awards. What's that got to do with Doctor Who? Matt Smith has recorded a couple of pieces for Disney Junior's new series entitled A Poem Is. Bernard Cribbins talks about working on a new story.
Sir, you can call me Sir
all you like. That's what I like to hear. New story-based series, old Jack Bowie. I tell you what, if you want someone to read you a story, Bernard Cribbins used to be very, very good on Jack and Ori many years ago. Bill Pullman reveals his love of fruit. We really have got some great riveting stories here at the DoctorWhoNews.net thing. John Barrowman suffered an accident during the matinee of his pantomime, Jack and the Beanstalk, in Glasgow. On Friday, Captain the Jack performer the fell from a horse and was taken to Glasgow's Western Infirmary as a precaution. However, his injury was reportedly minor, and that he is expected to be back for the matinee on Saturday.
Was that Captain Jack and the Beanstalk?
Yes. Brian Cox is to star in BBC Four comedy series Bob Servant Independent. Now, is that Professor Brian Cox, who was on the? No, it's the other Brian Cox, the actor. Brian Cox.
Yep.
Frank Skinner appeared alongside Billy Piper for the Graham Norton show. Apparently, that was supposed to be very good. One of the more recent episodes of Graham Norton show. I haven't seen any of them, so I can't really speak for them.
Really,
I haven't seen any of them. As I said.
Wow.
I really haven't seen.
Well, that was just more of an surprised exclamation question. Right. Was it really?
Close down that. Otherwise, it'll start playing. Close down that. Otherwise, it'll start playing. I must admit, I did watch this on my iPad. For some reason, because they did series 4 for $9.99, so I thought that's quite cheap. I'd already got about 6 of the episodes, so I got it for about that's 4 quid bad. To have the whole series for 4 quid just to pay. I thought I might as well get the rest of the series for my iPad, so I've got now series 1 and series 4 digitally. Right, I suppose I'll have a quick look at eBay, see if anybody's flogging any of their Christmas goodies. Magic, as you heard, does not agree with that.
No.
Well, it's getting very cold here. I've got the back door open. It's drifting through into here.
Oh, now. You are... Don't tell me how cold it is there.
It's freezing.
It's so bloody hot here.
He keeps swearing, doesn't he? Have you noticed that, Reese, that Robert keeps swearing?
I'm going to join him if we're talking about the heat.
Is Kirby back yet?
If his microphone's still muted, he's not.
How do you know if his microphone's muted?
Precisely.
No.
He doesn't talk.
Okay.
Yes.
I was just saying, if he can't hear us, if he couldn't hear us, we could pretend that we've already covered everything and say, thank you for listening to the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who podcast. See you again next week. Probably recording on Sunday. Goodbye. But we're not going to do that because it probably won't work.
Whenever you actually call me. You've done it to me a few times.
it's got something different in eBay. Right, and the number one item on eBay this week hasn't got any bids against it. Doctor Who full-size 1960s replica TARDIS. £4,500 plus £49.99 postage.
That's heavy.
Heavy. Hang on, that's heavy. That's from Back to the Future, isn't it? That's heavy.
Heavy.
No, that's what...
You said it was however many pounds.
God.
Out. Out.
No, what's that? That's a line that the joke, like, a running gag in Back to the Future, wasn't it? Where Michael J. Fox's character say that's heavy, and the younger version of Marty, that's it. The younger version of Dak would not understand the. And then later on, he said that's heavy, and they swapped it round. I'm losing it because nobody ever watches Back to the Future, which is a shame, because it's one of my favourite films.
I just watched the extras on the Back to the Future disc the other day. Yeah.
Number one item with bids against it.
It's got it on Blu-ray now, so.
With it, I'll have to get that at some point. Number one item with bids against it is full-size TARDIS. One bid at £650. It doesn't quite look as good as the one that's £4,500, but then it wouldn't, would it? But it still looks pretty good, and I'd be quite happy to have that among my Doctor Who items.
Where would you put it?
In the back garden. What else we got
here? Where it belongs, yes.
Set of seven Doctor Who character tankards, limited edition of £750. Now, I've seen these somewhere else, actually. But they're really good. It's McCoy, Hartnell, Davison, Troughton, Baker, and Pertwee. Yeah, they're like tankers with sort of the Doctor's faces on them. I did say to Deb about that, but when that you see that the full price of the complete set is listed on eBay at £1,200, I don't think Deb's going to go along with that one. what's going on here?
Sure.
Yeah, quite sure.
Yes, sure.
My scarf's starting to get a bit tatty. I think it's
what?
My scarf I got for Christmas. It's starting to sort of the bits where each part of the pattern is joined together are starting to come away at the sides. So I think that's to add to the effect that to get it stitched back together will actually add to the effect of the scarf. From these, that's
or
the excuse.
The type of scarf, yeah.
Yeah. There's a very nice item here that still hasn't got bids against it. It says Doctor Who 35th Anniversary Real Fob Pocket Watch, solid gold, metal boxed, £295. No bids. But it does look very nice. It does look very nice.
£295.
Very nice item. But the thing, the one in Doctor Who wasn't gold, was it? It was silver. Or maybe it was platinum. I do not know.
Could be white gold.
Sorry? White gold, yeah, could be indeed, yes. Yes.
But then get platinum, yes. Yeah, totally right.
I'm just scrolling down the list of dearie me's. There's nobody buying any or selling anything that's actually at.
No dearie me's.
Oh, here we go. The second item, Micra. I'll start again.
Micra.
I want to get
Micra.
Yeah, the Micra one-off costume Doctor Who classic action figure.
Oh,
an action figure of the Micra. Well, somebody does. 20 bids. 20 bids. That's £155 if you want to buy yourself a Micra.
Paint might rub off on you.
Yeah.
You could well do.
That's what
God, I didn't even know they made a Micra model. Is that a new thing, or is it something from the 80s? Or do you think I should have a look?
Yes.
Okay, I will.
Have a look.
I've got to go back up the page and find it. There we are. The Micra one-off custom Doctor Who. Oh, it's a custom-made one. So it's like somebody's actually made themselves. Up for
why
auction, there's
you
a one-off.
To make a Micra costume? Ah!
It's not a costume, it's a model. It's a model. It says custom-built replica of the Micra from the 1984 episode Warriors of the Deep. It has been professionally sculpted by a colleague of mine, scratch-built from metal armature and high-grade polymer clay. Which is ironic considering what the original Micra was actually made of.
I know.
right, what else we got here? Scrolling down the list. I'll tell you what, I'm scrolling down the list, we always find it quite daunting, don't we, when we're trying to review two-parters. But it was very enjoyable watching these two episodes. This particular review. So,
you guys watch them all together, though?
I watched one one night, then the other the following night.
I watched.
I normally try to watch them
together.
I didn't have time.
I normally try to watch them together, but I didn't have time this time, so I watched one day, one the next.
Mm. And then
I watched them together again with the commentary on.
Yeah, that's good. Final one.
Well done,
Jimmy. This has got nothing to do with Doctor Who. Shall I read it out anyway, so you can work out why it's come up on a list of a search of Doctor Who? Yes. Scarce World War II medal group to Jewish doctor who served in India/Burma.
Yes.
Because it's got a doctor in the
doctor.
He's swearing a lot. I do apologise, listeners, as Robert keeps swearing this week. I don't know what's the matter with him.
What? Did I swear?
Have you got Tourette's this week? I don't know. It's strange.
Tourette's!
Right, I'm going to give up on this feature in a minute. Oh, by the way, next week, I think we might be recording on Sunday.
Sunday. Why?
Because we did it Monday this week. And we tend to record on Sundays, a week after record on Mondays.
I could do it, but I'd rather do it on Monday next week.
That doesn't surprise me. You'd rather do that.
That's what she said.
But we'll be on Monday the following week. Right, I'm going to give up because there's no more things with bids against
my schedule has kind of reversed, and it would just be better for me next Monday to do it. But it's up to you. You're the boss.
I'll leave it up to you lot.
I'll go Monday. I'll go Monday for sure.
You want Monday, do you?
Yeah.
Mm. Reese, are you right with Monday?
Yeah.
Okay, Monday is then. Mary will have to do an hour. Right then, the final item is vintage Doctor Who Dennis Fisher.
Sounds like she's going to prison.
Quiet.
Not for long,
vintage Doctor Who Dennis Fisher figure of giant robot from 1977. Seven bids, £89.99. And below that is the 11 Doctor set.
Pieces.
Somebody's listed for £87 in the United States. It's very expensive. You can buy it from whowon.co.uk. For a
that whowon.co.uk?
.whowon.co.uk? No, just whowon.co.uk. It's a shame Mary's not here, because I love it when she cocks it up.
Exactly.
I've got coming through, actually, the post that you can buy from whowon.co.uk is what's the two new stories that have come out this month? Oh, good grief.
Is that Legacy set? Collection.
Yeah, the Legacy one, which has got Reign of Terror coming out, haven't they, with the new animated bits. Looking forward to seeing that. Hasn't come through the post yet, so I'm presuming it's going to be next week. And what else have we got? It's the Legacy collection, which has got more than 30 years in the TARDIS and Scar. Sharda. Yeah. So I'm looking forward to that. And apparently, with Sharda, you get not only the incomplete BBC thing with the Tom Baker filling in the gaps. You get the audio version with Paul McGann. Brilliant.
Versions.
What a bargain. So, yeah, looking forward to getting those. I really think that's about it for this week. Just check there's nothing happened in the meantime. Gareth Lloyd has posted in 20 Megabyte Doctor Who podcast group. Red Wine and Ripper Street is one of them. I don't know what that's to do with. Red Wine and Ripper Street, one of them was a mistake. Anyway, I don't. Indeed. So nothing much going on as far as I can see on Facebook. And if you want to write into the show, listeners, I keep forgetting to mention this, you can do that. Surprising, isn't it?
Yeah.
As we always get the same two or three people every week.
I believe that.
Yes.
We appreciate that.
I did get a bit worried that I upset Dr. Phil by dubbing over a few car crash noises on his last bit of thing. But when I listened back to it, I thought it was hilariously funny.
It hands-free. Hands-free.
Yeah, but,
I'm sure he does.
But Dr. Phil, hands-free. You're not supposed to have your hands free from the steering wheel. Anyway, so it's 20mb.feedback@gmail.com. We have a new member on the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who podcast Facebook group. You can be a new member too, but our new member is Toysha Bingham. What a name. Hello, Toysha. Okay. I hope you join me because you listen to the show, not because you just found a strange Doctor Who group you want to be a member of.
So there you go. Please listen to the show, yes.
So, yes, welcome.
Please.
Yes, I don't know who... Was it me, or did she requested to join us? Somebody added her.
Reese added her.
Thank you, Reese. That's it then. Until next week. Thank you for listening to the first show of 2013. Bye.
Is it 2013 already?
Is
it?
Bye.
Yeah.
Bye. Reese.
Go.
Bye.
at Doctor Who Podcast is an APB Services production, sponsored by whoone.co.uk and is a proud member of the Doctor Who Podcast Alliance. Doctor Who is a trademark of the BBC. No copyright infringement intended.